You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Everybody, and welcome to Hit the Books, the only weekly realistic fantasy booking podcast in the known universe. That's right. There could be other fantasy booking podcasts in other universes, but we just do not know about them because of limitations in our current technology spheres. I am your host, as always, Ryan Eisen. With me, as always, is my other host, the head writer of SmackDown Live, Mikey Manfredi, the spicy nugget himself, Mikey Manfredi.
I'm feeling spicy today, Ryan. Yeah. I'm very excited. Royal Rumble is only a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah. Ooh. It's a couple weeks away.
We got this week, we got next week, and then it's the Rumble, baby.
The Rumble, the Grade A Rumble.
What's the Rumble's tagline this year?
In our universe or the actual legit?
The actual universe.
I don't know. I don't know if they have a tagline, if they reveal a tagline yet. All I know is that it's comic book themed.
Interesting.
Yes.
Is it like the heroes of the Rumble?
You know, maybe. Like
the comically bad Rumble.
That's like a headline that it's a headline they'll publish.
That sounds like a Dave Meltzer headline.
It's like the comically bad Royal Rumble. All I know is that it's like comic book themed. I don't even know if they would say anywhere. All I know is that Roman Reigns would be taking on Adam Pearce, which is funny to me. At the time of this recording, you know who Adam Pearce is?
Kind of.
Yeah, you would vaguely know who he is if you don't watch SmackDown. And maybe he's on the pay-per-views. I don't quite remember.
He's like the guy who like makes all the matches on SmackDown, right?
Yeah, an agent.
Yeah.
He's that. But like he's legit an agent, but in storyline he's like somehow the person in charge or something of SmackDown or something overall. I don't know. He's like somehow like the authority figure, I guess.
But again, this is why we need GMs.
Yes, but he is the former, he retired in 2014, came to WWE and became an agent. He's been a multi-time NWA champion. So he's done a lot of stuff. He's really good at wrestling, but it's also like, huh, okay, he's going to be in some sort of squash match against Roman Reigns for some reason. Anyways, that's fine. We got plenty of better matches here over on our show. If you've never heard the show before, by the way, let me explain it to you. Every single week, we write and book and explore. I don't know if explore is the right word, but we basically write our own versions of Raw and SmackDown.
Explore our own cards.
Yes. I'm the head writer of Raw. He's the head writer of SmackDown. So every single week, we write our own shit. We present it to each other and present it to you most, more than all. And you get to vote on which card you thought was better. So you can vote by going to our Twitter page at CountoutPod on Twitter. And of course, if you like what you hear, you can definitely subscribe. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you can listen to more of the show. But right now, here today, folks, we have of course another two cards for you. Things are heating up on the road to the Royal Rumble, as Mikey explained already. And you know what, Mikey? Let's get into it. Why don't we?
Yeah, let's continue on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Let's open up the show with Monday Night Raw, of course. And let's open up Monday Night Raw, the only show that's written in all caps, with One Nation opening up the show.
It's Monday Night Raw.
Yes, Monday Night Raw. It's all caps when you spell Raw's name. So we're going to open up the show with One Nation. Of course, what happened last week where we had a number one contenders match for the U.S. title. Aleister Black won it, but One Nation came out and broke Black's arm. So here they are again. Maybe they're going to explain their actions, probably. Ciampa
says...
Probably not. No, let's see what he says. Ciampa comes out and says that last week, a message was sent to the entire locker room that no matter what division you enter, we will take it over. So you have two options. You either get out of our way or we put you on the shelf. Speaking of Aleister Black, you believe that you can come after my...
Rewind.
I'm getting like slightly distracted because I know for a fact there's someone cutting their grass outside, or blowing leaves. Maybe
have you ever played Mario 64?
No, I don't believe I have.
But
I've seen plenty of playthroughs of it.
For any people who are listening who are no Mario 64, when Ryan did that bleh, 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 bleh thing, it sounded like the little pink bomb when you talk to it to open the cannons, and it's like bleh, 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 bleh.
It's like everything in that game talks like that.
No, but I guess, but they don't. It's more like warp, warp.
I guess
warp.
It's fair. I guess there's different talking points for everything. But yeah, sorry,
like,
folks.
The bomb's always like blah 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 blah.
Yeah, sorry, folks. So there's there's a guy blowing leaves outside my house right now, so that's just gonna be something. Maybe you'll hear it. Anyway, maybe you won't. Maybe Mikey's audio magic will work.
All right. Anyway, back on track.
So, speaking of Aleister Black, you believe that you can come after my United States Championship. Well, the problem is you aren't the one that's going to get that. You aren't the one that gets that shot. My United States Championship was taken from me by some crappy referee with no training, and I will not stand for that. So we did our job. Now there's a match that needs to be filled at the Royal Rumble, and with no Aleister Black, I am going to challenge Ricochet. I am challenging Ricochet to get back what was wrongfully taken from me. Suddenly, Chad Gable and Daniel Bryan walk out.
Oh, no.
Bryan grabs the microphone and says that Ciampa is forgetting about who else was in that match. My pupil, Chad Gable, earned that spot last week, and as the number two contender, he is next in line to challenge for the United States Championship. You won't be able... You're not going to take his spot... And if you want it, come and get it. So tensions, of course, are boiling inside that squared circle. Ricochet comes on the screen. The actual United States champion comes on the screen. Ricochet says that last week was one of the greatest matches he's seen in quite a while, and he was excited to fight Aleister Black at the Rumble. But because of y'all's nonsense, that ain't happening. Gable, and I'm talking to only you, man. You lost last week, and trust me, it's fine to lose that match. You know, use that as motivation, please. Just stop listening to Daniel Bryan. And Ciampa, you are someone who just attacks people for no reason other than his own greed. Why the hell should I give you a shot at... Hold on, let me see it. Ricochet, you know, looks at his own... The title looks at the nameplate. Yeah, that says Ricochet at my United States Championship.
I like how we have to check. He's like, just to make sure.
Oh, well, he's not doing it out of stupidity.
Yeah, there's my Ricochet on it. It is mine.
He's not doing it out of stupidity. He's doing it out of, screw you, dude.
I know.
What did I write here? Why should you get a shot at this for what you've done? So here's what we're going to do. Not only can I not cancel the match at the Rumble, I don't want to. I want to be a defending champion. Which means that without Aleister Black, I'm without a challenger. And there is no way in hell either of you currently deserve this shot. So here's what we're going to do. Both of you need to prove yourself as a rightful challenger tonight. So we will have two beat the clock matches.
Beat the clock challenges?
Whoever has the best time will face me at the Royal Rumble. Oh, and neither of you can have your people at those beat the clock matches tonight. No extra help. You got to prove yourself by your own accord. And then Ricochet comes back. Oh, and one last thing. To ensure no more nonsense is going to happen at the Rumble, I'm making it now. The United States Championship match at the Royal Rumble will now be a steel cage match.
Whoa, throwing down the gauntlet.
Yeah,
Ricochet. I thought you were gonna say lumberjack, and it was gonna be a bunch of people with casts on their arms, being like,
just beating him up with the cast.
No. All the people whose arms were broken by by One Nation just as the lumberjacks.
Yeah, no, it's got a steel cage match. We're gonna keep everyone out. So it's gonna be Ricochet, the referee, and
keep
whoever.
Keep the violence in.
Exactly right. Ricochet, the referee, and whoever, either Chad Gable or Tommaso Ciampa.
I like it.
So we're going to go straight into a match that was announced last week, and it is Ali and Alexander versus Randy Orton, and who he says was Edge as his rightful partner that he's choosing. Obviously, Ali and Alexander come out first. Randy Orton comes out. And guess who doesn't show up, Mikey? It's, of course, not going to be Edge.
Oh, no.
Does not show up.
Orton, no.
So it becomes, this is a handicap match. Ali and Alexander end up getting the victory here. After the match, Orton gets upset and attacks Ali and Alexander with a chair.
Oh, someone's a little sour.
A little? Yeah, my man Randy Orton being a little bit of a whiny butt right now. But I guess I see where he's coming from, but still, he's being a little bit of a butt.
Yeah, a little bit.
For lack of a better word. Moving right along, we got a backstage segment with Bayley. Bayley is picking out her number for the Royal Rumble. Charlie Caruso asked her about her loss last week. Bayley says, yeah, you know, she sort of asked that question. Yeah, what was that, Charlie? I had that match in the bag. And then she came out of nowhere with that kick. Screw her. Charlie, I can't wait to eliminate Peyton Royce from the Rumble. Because guess who's got number 18? And she holds up shoulders of the ball. Charlie says that, you know, Peyton Royce is currently at number 17. But because of how she won that Battle Royal and what's happening, she still has the chance to change her number with her match later tonight. So you might not actually be able to see Peyton Royce at all if you get eliminated. Bayley holds for a beat and she's like, oh yeah, I knew that. Da-doy. Come on, Charlie, you know better than that. And then she leaves.
Incredible. What a beautiful Bayley interview. She went from being like, kind of, wait, yeah, I think she was a baby face over on SmackDown and she went to Raw and immediately was just like mean to everyone.
She hasn't done anything. She's had like, this is like the only like character interaction I've had with Bayley since she arrived at Raw,
which is months ago. Last time we saw her, she was like the ultimate baby face, and now she's like calling Charlie an idiot.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm turning her just Aunt Pam heel because I need more heels. I need more different heels. I looked at my roster and I was like, nah, I don't have any heels. I need some heels.
Fair enough.
And Bayley works as sort of like a heel there. Moving right along. We got a next up, first of the Beat the Clock Challenge matches. It's going to be Tommaso Ciampa versus Eric of the Viking Raiders.
Okay. I like that.
And of course, Eric has Ivar with him. Tommaso Ciampa does not have anyone with him because he's not allowed to have anyone with him. The match goes on, takes about 10 minutes, but Tommaso Ciampa is able to get the win.
All right.
So, setting the pace there at 10 minutes.
Okay.
Next up, we got a video package where it's Dijakovic explaining why he turned on his friend, or former friend, Keith Lee. He says that he and Lee were big friends on the indie scene, which is not something you can say about a lot of different people. We had great matches in plenty of places, but when we finally got to NXT, things changed. Keith got signed before I did. You know, he was getting more opportunities despite the pedigree that I bring to the ring. You know, I have everything in my arsenal. And then, you know, who gets drafted first to the main roster? He does. And when I finally get drafted to the Raw, who's there as champion? Keith Lee, just sort of rubbing it in my face. You know, I'm just as good, if not better, than he is. Yet, he got everything first. You know, I deserve those opportunities more. Then he insults me by throwing me a pity title match. He thought he would beat... he thought he would even beat me, that he wasn't even worried about putting the title on the line against me, his friend. You know, screw that guy. I don't need the handouts. I am Dijakovic, the five-tool athlete. I took my fate into my own hands, and now I earned my own WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble. I will win the WWE Championship and show Keith Lee who is better, me.
Oh, I like it. Passionate promo from Dijakovic.
Yes, passion, real passion coming from Mr. Dijakovic here. I couldn't remember if it was five tool athlete or if it was five tool something, because I keep confusing it, because he has like the same gimmick as Anthony Bowens does.
Is five tool athlete just the same thing as saying five moves of doom?
Definitely not. Definitely not the same thing. Well, it's either that or T-Bar. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, you could do T-Bar. It'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, I have T-Bar, but he's not. He's not. He's just T-Bar.
He's just T-Bar. No other members of Retribution.
No Slapjack. Poor Slapjack. So there we go. Moving right along, we got the Change of Luck match of Peyton Royce. This week facing Candice LeRae. Like we said previously, you know, this is the sort of gimmick that I'm doing here. It's basically Peyton Royce won a Battle Royal a couple weeks ago. She now entered the Rumble at number 5. If she's able to, like, she's basically sort of defending that. If she wins a match, she can go up 2 points to, like, number 17, which she did last week against Bayley. If she loses, she goes back down 2 spots. So she's able to, win, lose, be able to get a better spot in the Rumble based on her wins.
All right.
So that match is going to be against Candice LeRae, and Peyton Royce is going to get the victory.
Ooh, big win for Peyton Royce. A little disappointing to see Candice LeRae lose, but, you know, I like Peyton Royce working her way up the Rumble here.
Yes, I have plans for all three of the people involved in this little story thing here. Mm-hmm. Whether it be together or separate, I have plans for everybody. It's just a matter of, you know, you got to build up those things, and there's other things happening, and there's not enough space on this goddamn TV show.
I have enough space on this goddamn 3-hour TV show.
Well, I'm only doing 2 hours here. If I had 3 hours, then I would have, like, what, 6-7 matches?
Probably.
Yeah, but even then, like, you know, I haven't touched the tag team titles at all. I'm focusing on other things. I do that every once in a while, where, like, in between pay-per-view cycles, I just won't focus on one thing.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. I'm just like, I'll put that out of my mind for now.
Yeah, we're gonna put that title on ice and we're gonna focus and build up some challengers. Get some mid-card stories happening. Next up, we got a backstage interview with Bronson Reed and Arturo Ruas. They are asked... The up-and-comings, yes. They're asked, since they arrived to Raw, they're starting to pick up a little bit of a run here. Are they looking to challenge the Raw Tag Team Championships? Bronson Reed tells Charlie that, of course, that's what they're looking towards. But right now, it looks like we got people that are... you know, for lack of a better word, in our way, right? I mean, looking like they're trying to cut us from that path. And I'll tell you this, Charlie, One Nation may think that they have the division on lock, but they have never met the colossal Bronson Reed, and they have never met Arturo Ruas, which I do not remember Ruas's nickname. Looking it up again real quick, he had a nickname and I don't remember what it is. Not in here. The Brazilian brawler Arturo Ruas. There we go. Made it up on the spot there.
The Brazilian brawler.
Yes, the Brazilian.
Like
the Brazilian brawler Arturo Ruas and the colossal Bronson Reed. So they're saying, you know, we're looking for the tag team titles, but you know, it sounds like One Nation is going to want to try to stop us. So maybe we need to stop them before we get there.
Maybe.
Next up, we have...
Also, I like how this team, who got a couple of wins under their belt, is just like, all right, time to go after the top tag team in the division, basically.
Yeah, baby. Really, you love confidence. You love the confidence.
Going right after One Nation.
Well, hold on. One Nation's not the top tag team. LLC are. They're the ones with the straps.
That's why I said kind of.
Yeah. People that think they're the top brass.
Yeah.
At the very least. A lot of disillusionment happening on my show. Anyways, moving right along to the next Beat the Clock Challenge match. Of course, Chad Gable, not allowed to have Daniel Bryan there. And he's going to be taking on Drew Gulak.
Interesting. Okay. I like this.
Sort of a repeat from a couple weeks ago with Drew Gulak, but now he gets a chance to just take on Chad Gable. So the match is happening. Of course, Beat the Clock Challenge. There's a 10-minute time limit, around a 10-minute time limit here.
This has the potential to be like match of the night, like low key.
That's possible. That's certainly possible. During the match, Apollo Crews and Akira Tozawa come down to the ring from the rampway, causing referees to run out and stop them, and people getting distracted and whatnot. And of course, you got a distraction. Someone's going to take advantage of it. That person's going to be Tommaso Ciampa, who comes out of nowhere and attacks Gable.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
You know,
just completely ruining this beat the clock challenge. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, who would have guessed it? The referee doesn't see this. The match does continue. But later in the match, you know, because of all the distractions, Gable has the match. You know, he's about to win the match, but sadly, the time runs out. Time limit draw here. Gable is unable to do it, which means Tommaso Ciampa will be facing Ricochet for the United States Championship in a steel cage match at the Royal Rumble.
All right.
So there we go, folks. That's how
I like it.
That's how Tommaso Ciampa is going to skirt the system.
He's gonna cheat as usual.
What you gonna do?
Who would have seen it coming from the heel?
Exactly right. Moving right along, we have the main event of the show tonight. It's going to be a women's tag team championship match. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke challenging the women's tag team champions Nia Jax and Tamina.
Okay, depending on how this match goes, I may or may not have to change a promo on SmackDown, so continue.
Before the match starts, Nia Jax grabs the microphone and tells Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke that they were not the ones that destroyed their locker room a couple weeks ago, but whoever did, that was a great idea, and I wish I thought of it
that
first.
That was a great idea.
I wish I got it first, man.
Whoever did that, I wish we broke their locker room instead.
Yeah. Yeah, so part of the motivation for this match for Rose and Brooke was to get revenge in that sense, but Nia Jax and Tamina revealing that it was not them.
Mm-hmm.
So the match goes on, and the winners of this match are going to be Nia Jax and Tamina retaining their women's tag team championships.
The promo stays.
After the match, you know, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are getting up. Nia Jax and Tamina are out of here. So after the match, Mickie James and Chelsea Green come out and attack and beat down Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke.
Oh my god. As if they didn't have enough just now.
No. We can, and maybe we'll get revealed in more accurate terms, but you know, maybe they were the one that beat up destroyed the locker room.
Maybe they were the ones who did it. It kind of seems like it, huh?
Yeah, do you know?
It kind of seems like the culprits just revealed themselves.
Yeah, no, maybe. Who's to say? You know, who's to say? I can't say, but you know, stay tuned for next week. Subscribe.
Hey, there you go.
And then we got a sort of a main event segment here. It's a contract signing between Keith Lee and Dijakovic.
Okay.
So we got a lot of promos. Here we go. Dijakovic grabs the contract first and the microphone and tells Keith Lee that I have been waiting for this moment for years now, Keith. After opportunity lost to you, I finally get what should have been mine all along. Dijakovic signs the contract. Keith Lee grabs the microphone and then tells Dijakovic that he has no idea what he's talking about. I know you deserve opportunities, Dom. Why do you think I gave you a title shot? Why did I look to see if we could draft you here to Raw? You know, you didn't know that, but that's what I tried to do. You think these are just some pity handouts? What are you talking about? If he felt this way, why didn't you say anything? Dijakovic responds saying that he wouldn't care because you never have
any relationship.
Exactly right. Dijakovic says that Keith Lee is a selfish prick that only cares about himself. You take advantage of people like me to feed your own needs. I hate you, Keith. You are not my friend.
Oh my god.
Suddenly, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman walk out.
They didn't drive in with a truck?
No, not today. Roman says that he doesn't care about this sob story between you two. He cares about his own story and his shot at the WWE Championship. Speaking of opportunities, Dijakovic wouldn't even have this shot if it wasn't for me. So I don't care who wins the Royal Rumble. I'm coming for what's mine when I win the Rumble. Suddenly, out of nowhere, McIntyre tackles Reigns to the ground.
He's not dead. All right.
The two brawl in the rampway, and Dijakovic takes his time to attack Keith Lee. Everyone is fighting. McIntyre sends Rowan through a table on the side of the rampway, while Keith Lee sends Dijakovic through the table in the middle of the ring. Keith Lee signs the contract, raises the title, while McIntyre is gloating over Roman Reigns. And that is how we end Monday Night Raw.
Chaos between these four competitors. I have a feeling we might have a certain four-way match coming at Royal Rumble.
Maybe
a fatal one.
No, not happening. Not happening. The match has been signed. Keith Lee versus Dijakovic for the WWE Championship. Reigns has already announced that he's in the Rumble. One would presume McIntyre is going to be in the Rumble. He has not announced it, but let's be... Oh, no, did I announce it? I have it written down here, so maybe I did announce it. Either way, if I did it, here you go. McIntyre's in the Rumble.
I like it.
So, yeah. No, yeah, that's what's happening here.
Interesting. This WWE Championship build is getting wild.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of craziness happening here.
Meanwhile, my Universal Champion is probably in a sack somewhere.
Santa Fiend. That's Monday Night Raw. Thoughts on it, Mikey? Comments, questions, concerns?
I like it. I like Chelsea Green and Mickie James attacking Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke from behind. I like Nia Jax and Tamina retaining the title, so I don't have to rewrite my promo.
Perfect.
I really love this WWE Championship build. I like Keith Lee and Dijakovic arguing like exes.
Yes. Yes.
It's just a really good Raw all around. I think it's a really good build to the Royal Rumble, and it's a really good, solid episode.
Yes, yes. I really want to win the Men's Royal Rumble. I really want to win the Men's Royal Rumble.
Oh, how did I forget? You set up a whole steel cage match.
Yes.
For the Rumble with between Ciampa and Ricochet, which is going to be probably awesome, right?
That's the plan. a lot of craziness. I have a lot of...
And you did a beat the clock challenge.
This was a jam-packed show, gotta say.
Yeah, you shoved a lot into this one.
Yeah, and I have a whole nother show tomorrow, like next week.
It sounds like you might have the winning one. I don't know how I feel about the SmackDown yet, but I guess we'll see when we get there.
Yes, let's find out.
All right, so over on Friday night, we got the Usos opening up SmackDown and coming to the ring. They say, let's just cut to the chase. Morrison, Andrade, you want another shot at these, right? And they hold up their tag team title belts. You said you'd get your shot if you had to beat every team here on SmackDown. Well, what if you just had to beat one? Us. You think you got what it takes to become the champions? Why don't you take on the champions in a match tonight? If you win, you get a shot for the titles at the Royal Rumble. Morrison and Andrade come to the ramp, and Morrison grabs a mic and says, Jimmy, Jay, I appreciate the offer, but the only problem is that when we beat you tonight, you won't even be able to make it to the Rumble to defend those titles.
Ooh.
Morrison and Andrade, while Morrison is saying this, they're like walking their way down the ramp to the ring.
Okay.
They get into the ring and get face-to-face with the Usos, and Morrison says, but that doesn't mean we don't accept. Morrison bashes the mic over Jimmy's head, and the teams begin to brawl. They beat each other down until the Usos eventually get the upper hand back, and Morrison and Andrade retreat, setting up the main event tonight. The Usos versus Morrison and Andrade. And if Morrison and Andrade win, they get a shot for the titles at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, baby. That's what you like to see. That's what you like to see. Usos coming out of nowhere, getting the titles. Morrison and Andrade building up into the title feud. Now just have to beat the champions to show their worth. It's all about showing your worth in WWE wrestling.
Yeah. First match, okay, so the first match on the card is Bianca Belair versus Nikki Cross, and Bianca Belair gets the win, and Sasha Banks is watching from an awkward angle in the back. Of course, how else do you watch matches in WWE?
Mm-hmm.
After that match, we have a backstage interview segment with Sasha. Backstage, a interviewer like finds Sasha watching Belair's match. They ask her how she feels going into the Royal Rumble after Belair's impressive victory tonight. Sasha says, I'm not impressed. She can beat as many women as she wants on this roster, but none of them are the champion. She has no idea that going against me in that ring is a completely new level of competition that she has never seen before. At the Royal Rumble, I'll prove why this title is on my shoulder and shut down this flash in a pan run that Bianca's having.
Ooh, girl. You're going after. What are you doing?
After that segment, we have match number two. We have Carmella taking on Lana, and Carmella gets the victory.
Very nice. Very nice for Carmella getting the win here. Much needed win.
After that is the segment I'm most excited for, the video package.
Perfect.
Braun Strowman sits in front of a mirror. For weeks, he says, sorry, let me do my Braun Strowman voice.
Yeah, please, please. I want to hear this.
He says, for weeks I've been watching that of me and Cross going off that stage, watching it over and over and over, made me realize something. That day, that moment, it wasn't the man Braun Strowman who power slammed Cross through that mess of wires and tables and debris. It was just the monster. It was terrifying to let that side of me roam free and take over like that, but it also felt cathartic. It felt like a side of me I've locked away finally got the chance to breathe again, and I loved it. Braun stands up and he punches the mirror and it like cracks.
Mojo Rawley.
He says, I knew you were going to say it. He punches the mirror and it cracks, and Braun says, if I want to beat the devil, I need to play his game. Cross, the Braun Strowman you knew before is gone, and the monster inside has taken over. Not even the devil is going to be ready for the hell I have in mind.
Yeah! Yeah!
The fractured mirror with an evil smile on his face.
Oh, big pop. Big pop from the old miser over here.
That last line, when I like thought of it, was just like, that's it. That's gotta be, it's amazing. Perfect.
Yeah. Every wrestling promo is building to the final line. God damn. Big pop, big pop. Love it. Love that he's embracing the monster here. Love he's going to be taking on Karrion Kross. I'm very excited. Very excited where this feud's going.
Yeah. Good things. I'm very excited about this, too. I feel like this was a video package meant to, like, refresh Strowman a little bit.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, maybe bring out... I'm trying to bring out, like, a darker Strowman, like, obviously, to take on Cross. I'm trying to get the Strowman that has to go to, like, a deep, dark place to take on this deep devil that's, like, been haunting him since he lost that first match, like, months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes sense. Braun Strowman needs that sort of, like, repackaging sort of thing. And then the question is whether or not he stays in that repackaging following a win or a loss against Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Cross's losses?
Cross's losses?
Is that anything? Is that anything?
I don't know. Probably. Anyway, it's all downhill from here. After that video package... We have King Corbin taking on Elias, with King Corbin getting the win. But during the match, the referee gets taken out. And while the referee is down, Corbin grabs Elias's guitar to hit him with it. But Elias fights it from his hands. Then Carmella runs to the ring and grabs the guitar while Corbin and Elias fight. Carmella slides into the ring with the guitar and smashes it over Elias's head. Tells Corbin to go for the cover. She wakes up the ref. Corbin gets the 3 count. Carmella raises Corbin's hand and the two leave the ring victorious.
Wow. So are you telling me you're about to have the king and the queen?
Maybe.
Ooh, boy. I like that a lot.
How did you know the exact promo I wrote?
Oh, no.
The exact promo I had in mind.
I think that's really a good idea, legitimately. Like, Carmella needs a repackaging for quite a while, obviously. And, you know, WWE knows that, and that's why they had it. And you know, King Corbin needs something because he's getting flat.
Mm-hmm.
And all WWE did was, you know, obviously give him his like two like servant people that he's with, which is like fine, but it's like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But putting him with Carmella is very interesting because that could help Carmella and help refresh in Corbin. So that's, I think it's a solid move. You know, whether I think it's a solid setup and solid move, whether or not obviously it holds up and works everything is obviously on you, the booker. But I think it's like that's a solid move to try to help reliven some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and you said it, like, you, like, knew what exactly what I had in mind, like, the king and the queen, you know?
No, yeah, I like it. I'm surprised you didn't do Charlotte.
Yeah, but I, like I said, I don't think Charlotte's the one who needed the repackage, and also she's correct. Right now in the feud with, she's with Natalya in the feud with Piper Niven and
correct.
Tony Storm.
Correct. Also, so, on top of that, then you, by having Carmella being Queen C... then the Queen Mella, then you can easily do a Carmella versus Charlotte Flair match down the line.
Yeah, a Carmella versus Charlotte Flair, Queen versus Queen. Exactly. Who's the real Queen? Who takes the throne?
Yeah, and now all you have to do is do a Queen of the Ring match.
Perfect.
Which I mean is also how
Queen of the Ring tournament.
Maybe you shouldn't do that because that's how King Corbin became king. Which, by the way, that was what, 2019, 2018 was when that tournament was?
You're still calling him King Corbin? I mean, I haven't had one since.
I mean, I guess, to be fair, how long was King Booker a thing?
I mean, like I said, they haven't had King of the Ring since, so.
That's true. I'm going to look up. Well, it was 2019. When it was in 2019? I guess it was before the pandemic. What is 2019?
Which feels like a million years ago at this point.
Yeah, that feels like forever ago. When was this? because it's not 2019. It's obviously before the pandemic because the pandemic happened in 2020. I keep forgetting it's 2021 right now.
Time is just going by so fast.
Oh my god. Yeah, this was 2019. So he has been.
Oh, at the same time.
He's been the king for. Over a year, but almost a year and a half at this point. Wow.
He's still King Corbin in all of our hearts, clearly.
Clearly.
So after that match of King Corbin and Elias, we have a segment where we see a line outside of GM Page's door. Everyone waiting to get their numbers for the Royal Rumble.
No, a line outside GM Page's door. They just installed a new vending machine, and everyone's excited.
It's the only vending machine that has moon pies.
Oh, I've never had a moon pie in my life.
They're pretty good.
Do they taste like the moon?
I don't know what the moon tastes like, because I don't have reference for that, but I would imagine so.
Well, that doesn't sound like my problem.
A moon pie is basically just like a s'more, right? It's just like... it's not a graham cracker, but it's like a cake, some marshmallow, and then it's coated in chocolate. So it's like a s'more, kind of. Except without, like, the graham cracker or the chocolate being, like, melted.
I mean, I'll take your word for it. Like I said, never had it before. I do really like s'mores. So if that's what they are, maybe I should have them. But
I think you would like a moon pie then. If you like s'mores, you would like a moon pie. It has, like I said, it's missing some of those s'mores elements, like the crunchy graham cracker, because it's more of like a cakey inside than like a crunchy inside. And the chocolate isn't like ooey gooey. It's like a solid coat of chocolate on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's like a s'more, but less messy.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe I'll try to have it and have a report for next week. I have to do grocery shopping today.
Get moon pies while you're out. Perfect.
Copy. Yes, Sergeant.
All right, so there's a line outside GM Page's door waiting to get their numbers for the Royal Rumble. We go inside the office to see Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy pulling their numbers. Murphy pulls something very good by the look on his face, but Seth doesn't pull something as good. Seth, of course, then looks at Murphy, opens his hand, and says, "You know what must be done." Murphy sighs and swaps his number with Seth. Seth and Murphy go to leave, but Page stops them before they get the chance and says, "Don't think you two are getting off the hook without any consequences after last week. I'm not going to keep standing by while you two bully Mastiff. If he's in fighting shape next week, then you two are going to face him and a partner of his choice in a tag team match."
Ooh, interesting.
Rollins and Murphy begrudgingly accept and leave.
Interesting. And this is happening next week, correct?
Yes, if Mastiff is in fighting shape.
Yes, 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 yes. Interesting. I like it. I like it. The question is, who is Mastiff's partner? We'll find out.
I guess we'll find out. After that, we have match number four, which is Storm and Niven taking on Charlotte and Natalya, in which Storm and Niven get the victory.
Yeah!
Which leads to the backstage interview after the match with Storm and Niven. As they, the interviewer asks them about their victory tonight. Niven says, "It feels great. They've been a thorn in our side for weeks now, and it's good that we've got the job done tonight." Storm chimes in and says, "But now that we've proven we're more than a force to be reckoned with here on SmackDown, we want a shot at the women's tag team titles. So Jax, Tamina, you better watch your backs."
Ooh, laying down the challenge for the SmackDown, but the women's tag team championships.
Storm and Niven coming for those titles over there on Raw.
Is this a plan for the Rumble?
It could be that, or it could be a plan for a little bit down the line, because I know you have a tag team title match planned at the Rumble already. I wouldn't want to shoehorn in a triple threat if we don't have to.
No, I'm not doing a women's tag team title at the Rumble.
Okay, so then maybe.
I have a different match written in that has not been announced yet.
Okay. We'll think about it.
No,
we'll
you can do it. You can set it. You're more than welcome to have the women's tag team championship.
Pay-per-view. Fine, then yes, I'm doing it at the Rumble.
Yeah, fine.
Throwing down the challenge right now.
Fine.
You're Jackson Tamina over there on Raw versus Tony Storm and Piper Niven over on SmackDown for the Women's Tag Team Championships at Royal Rumble. Bring it on.
Look at this division that's being cultivated.
We got
the fall of the Iconics, but the rise of Mickie James, Chelsea Green, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Nia Jax, Tamina already happening, Tony Storm and Piper Niven.
Natalya.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a division brewing. We've been really honing in on the tag team women's division.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it. Oh, and then I guess I also introduced the idea of a team of Ruby Riott and Rhea Ripley, which I haven't really utilized, but I love the idea of that.
Ruby Riott and Rhea Ripley, more like
Riott. We're going to...
The Riott Squad.
How about instead of Riott, we just call it Insurrection? Is that too on the nose for pop culture right now? Is that too real?
Maybe a little bit.
Is that too
more
real?
Like Insurrection.
But gotta be honest, Insurrection is a great team, great name of some sort of wrestling team.
Insurrection sounds like a knockoff version of Retribution.
Exactly right. That's the new member, actually. Insurrection. What is
that? At the backstage interview, we still have our main event. We have the Usos versus Morrison and Andrade, and if Morrison and Andrade win, they get a title shot at the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And the result of this match is Morrison and Andrade getting the victory.
Heyo!
And winning their shot at the tag team titles at the Royal Rumble.
You love to see it. You love to see it. You love to see your boys getting the title shot.
Oh, yeah. Very excited for that. Very thrilled for them.
Yes, thrilled. Thrilled, I say. Whoops. I wrote the wrong thing down. Nice. I like it. Solid lineup here, Mikey. I assume there's nothing else after the show?
That's it.
Solid lineup. Honestly, solid lineup. I'm loving what I'm seeing, loving what I'm hearing. Continuing the setup for the Royal Rumble. Built, like I said, I love that Braun Strowman promo. I like the pairing of King Corbin and Queen Mella, sort of seeing where that potentially can go. Continuing the brewing up for Bianca Belair and Nikki Cross.
Or Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks.
Sorry, yes, I read the thing and I got my brain.
Fair enough.
I guess I don't know exactly what all the matches are going to be at the Royal Rumble.
Well, we know one is going to be Morrison and Andrade with the taking on the Usos for the tag titles.
We got Storm and Niven versus Jax and Tamina.
Yes.
And I believe I have written down here, you've announced Owens versus Joe.
Yes, Owens versus Joe. So I have 3 out of my 4 matches planned.
Yes. I thought that maybe it was going to be The Fiend versus Zayn, but it appears that has been on ice this cycle.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to... I want to do a Universal title at Royal Rumble because it's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think I'm ready to have another match with them yet.
That's fair.
Especially
since you're actively building up a Sasha Banks Bianca.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the last match. It's probably going to be the women's title match instead of the Universal this time around.
Yeah, I guess you have at least a week to make that final decision.
I think that I think that is what it's going to be.
Interesting. Okay. I like it. I thought it was a good show.
And then carrying into the next pay per view, we have stuff already building. Like we have Mastiff Rollins Murphy storyline. We have the Braun Strowman Karrion Kross storyline.
I feel like that's the frustrating. I don't know if you would agree with me, but
we got the Universal Championship storyline.
I feel like that's partly the frustration about Royal Rumble time and going, especially post Royal Rumble, going into other pay per views, going to WrestleMania, is that as like part of the Royal Rumble, we're sort of like building extra stories that can be told in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mastiff Rollins Murphy, like, you know, I guess now sort of Bayley Royce a little bit, McIntyre Reigns. You know, we're building stories into, you know, I guess LLC as well.
Corbin Elias.
Are they officially in the Rumble?
I mean, yeah, they were probably part of the line outside Paige's door.
Makes sense. Corbin Elias, though, easily. Like, a lot of these, like, mid-card, upper-card people that don't have title matches, you know they're going to be in the Rumble. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's like, oh, we're building all these things for the Rumble. And I feel like what happens a lot with, like, WWE booking sometimes is that, like, the post-Rumble is like, well, that wasn't necessarily the blow-off match because we were building things up and then now we need to do other matches.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess gives you a bunch of main events moving forward, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that recently where it's like, I guess that's the downside to the Rumble sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base, but I was just thinking about that just now. But yeah, I thought it was a good SmackDown. I liked a lot of stuff that you had here. You know, I don't really have like any big concerns or anything. You know, I thought it was very solid, very good, a lot of building. I think the difference between you and my show was that you were continuing to build almost like also the go home show and continuing build to the Royal Rumble, where I just like went balls to the wall, nutso butso. And whether or not that is good versus like, because now it's like, what do I do for next week? You know, those are the things that when you go nuts out boats of the week before, it's like, well, what is happening next week?
Yeah.
All I know, this was a solid week of wrestling, I would say, for WWE.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely a very good, very interesting time in the wrestling world when it comes around Royal Rumble time.
Yeah. But all that means is that if, you know, having good, 2 good episodes is going to make it even harder for, you know, you folks at home to vote on who you thought was better. So again, go over to Twitter, log in your Twitter sphere, you know, make sure you're not suspended indefinitely like some people in this great state of the Americas. Head on over to this episode.
Really just hammering home those references, huh?
This episode is coming out way late. Way later than the time of recording, so I really want
to. We're recording a lot. We're recording very close to when it actually happened.
Yeah, I just really want to date what this is the Saturday after Idiots. I just really want to date the show. So just remind people weeks from now to be like, hey, guess what? Remember, don't forget this. But yeah, anyways, log into Twitter. Go over to @countoutpod on Twitter. And it'll be pinned over the weekend is our poll for this episode. So you can vote on whose card you thought was better. Was it Raw? Was it SmackDown? Who did you think had a better show this week? You can go over again to Twitter, twitter.com/countoutpod, twitter.com/countoutpod to vote. But now it's time to that time of the show, Mikey, where we're going to roll the randomizer on who lost the poll last week to really, you know, make their life more difficult. You know, if you, it's like a, do you ever know, do you remember that game that, ever play that card game Capitalism?
No.
It's like a card game you just play off any sort of deck of cards. It's basically like, you know, you play the game, but the gimmick of the game is that the winner gets to make a new rule in the game. So basically, if you win, you're able to change the rules that potentially, you know, give you more favor, help you out to continue winning. So, you know, very taking after the life cycle of capitalism. But basically, that's the opposite of randomizing here, is that we roll the randomizer and whoever loses gets hit with the randomizer to make it, you know, more of a challenge, maybe more of a boon. Maybe it'll help. Who knows? But at the very least, let's go to the randomizer.
Yeah, let's do it.
There we go. SmackDown is the winner. More like SmackDab. SmackDab right in the middle, dog.
Oh, yeah. Smack dab getting that win.
Smack dab me over the head. I'm dead because I've lost.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kill you with my dab.
Your dab's so good, I'm dead.
All right. So, since I won, let's see what fate comes to Raw from the randomizer. Okay. Well, Ryan, I have your randomizer roll.
Uh-huh.
We have a 2K outcome. I get to roll a D whatever to see which one of your matches gets to be simulated in a WWE 2K game of whatever one we have.
Interesting. Interesting. I love it when we get more content, but interesting. You know, a lot of these have to be done. Well, I guess not a lot of these.
A lot of these choices are very deliberate.
Yeah. Huh. Well, let's see what match it is. Let's see what happens.
Okay, so Ryan, you have 5 matches on your card this week. I'm going to roll a D5.
I'm very nervous. I am very nervous. There's like, there's 2 of here that cannot be changed.
Okay.
And there are 3 that are, no. Let's see.
Ryan, I have your roll.
Okay.
Your roll is a 1.
Okay, that's not bad. That's doable. That's doable.
So which match is number 1 on your card again? Just as a quick reminder.
Number 1 on the card is Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali versus Randy Orton in a handicap match.
Okay. That must be simulated on WWE 2K.
That's whatever. Fine. That's fine. I think I'll take it. Could it have been worse? I, you know, 20% shot of getting that. I think that's doable. Yeah, you know, Okay then. We'll find out what happens. I guess, you know,
we're on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. Oh, go on the YouTube channel. When the results are revealed and there you on our YouTube channel, which is of course Count Out Podcast, I believe on YouTube. So you can go there. And you can go watch the video and see what the results are before next week's show.
Yes.
So that will obviously be out, if not the day, but, you know, at some point following of when this episode is released. So you can go, obviously, check on that when that happens. Okay, that is it for this week's episode. The results were in, and we have those things that are done. Let us talk about the old plug bag. Mikey, what do you got to plug?
The only thing I have to plug is Independent Waters, which comes out every Wednesday, where me and Zach Batista take you through the independent wrestling world and find little gems of indie wrestling matches for you to watch and for us to review. So if you like indie wrestling or if you're just getting into indie wrestling, it's a great place to start. So go check that out. Independent Waters here on the Count Out Network.
The only thing I got to plug is, well, I got several things to plug, but nothing's more important than going over to our website, going over to countoutpod.com. Very simple, very easy and breezy. Going over to countoutpod.com. It's at the top of the page, that banner that's right there. Go vote in our year-end awards. Please go do that, folks.
This episode comes out in 2 weeks.
What's that?
I said, are those still going to be up in 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to be done until the end of January.
Oh, okay.
I want to leave them up all... Leave them up all January. But you can go there all January long. We have our year-end awards. We already got some votes in. Basically, what we did is that the whole family here over our count out, we voted on who we believed to be, the best of the year. So we have several different categories, female wrestler of the year, male wrestler of the year, independent wrestler of the year, matches of the year. We have a fun award called the Lemonade Award, where basically, whoever took something awful, something shitty, and able to turn something into amazing. When life gives you lemon, you make lemonade. That sort of idea. So a lot of fun little options. The family nominated a bunch of stuff, and you get to vote on them. So again, go over to countoutpod.com and go vote in our year-end awards. We also have a good company article.
When you just call us the family, it sounds like we're a cult.
Oh, well, we are. We all have masks, we have tattoos, we're allowed to wear and forced to wear.
We're a cult.
Yes, exactly. Being cults are fun.
No bones about it here in 20 Big Dog Run.
Exactly right. Speaking of, I don't have a transition. Speaking of not having a transition, we also have a companion article that you can go check on our website. It's where we talk about some of our picks on what we picked as the winners of the year. So you can go vote as well. But if you need some motivation or thoughts on why maybe we nominate some people or why we think, let's say why we think FTR for you. And since Mikey, you wrote about FTR, why you thought FTR was the tag team of the year.
I did.
But all stuff about that. We have the matches in there with also links to the matches. Pictures about all these people and whatnot. But yeah, you can go check out all of those sort of things. You can go check out that over our website, countoutpod.com. Lots of new articles coming out as well. So, go there to read about wrestling and whatnot.
Yeah, definitely go do that. Whoa. Sorry.
Change your name to Kermit because you got a frog in your throat. I said it wrong. God damn it.
Oh, no, Jiggy.
Is that your Kermit?
I don't know. I have a bad Kermit. I can't do Kermit.
The Knightsy family household is known for having not able to do any impressions.
I think fans of the show have definitely learned that by now. We've definitely mentioned that on multiple occasions.
My family, I feel like the only ones I can kind of do is Batman, and I have to, warm my voice up to get there. And then I can kind of do a Macho Man, but, so can everybody else. I feel like that's all I got.
Yeah, Macho Man, all you gotta do is, really strain your throat and just be like, oh, yeah, don't be sour, like that. Like,
my favorite thing is when Jesse and I are cooking dinner, and it happened last night. Where she asked the Google Home, be like, hey, can you set a timer for 3 minutes? And I looked over at her and I was like, 3 minutes of playtime. she's like, cook the potatoes, please. I'm like, fine. She's like, can you please cook the potatoes and put some milk in the potatoes to mash them? I was like, sure. And I'll be the cream of the crop. And then she kicked me out of the house. Anyways,
and then I had to sleep with
I love her. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of Hit the Books. Like we said, go vote in our year-end awards. Go vote on Twitter. Hit the Books weekend polls. Go subscribe on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. That's it for this week's episode. Until next week, we'll see ya. Until then,
we've got two words for ya.
Book it.
Ooh, yeah.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.